I'll pour out of my spirit,
all of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take a thing into thy thing. And on my maid servant and on my hand and on my servant and on my hand servant, I'll pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. Remember yesterday we said when you hear of Paul, it means what? Prophecy, utterance, right? Right? Okay, let's go forward. I think now we said here that something has just happened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something has just happened. And we said it was an encounter. They had an encounter. Four verses 1 into 4. They had an encounter. And Peter stood up to explain that their encounter. Right? Right? Okay. And in standing up, he began to teach. And in teaching, he quoted, I'm going to come against that word soon. He explained from Joel. Okay, follow me. He explained from Joel. Or he explained from the prophet. So what do we call the prophet? What do we call the prophet? Scriptures. So he explained from scriptures. He explained from scriptures, showing you that scripture speaks of the believer's encounter with God. From Genesis, we have the belief, you have encounters. So the scriptures, you can call the scriptures the book of encounters. Encounters with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Peter will begin from the scriptures. For us today, I know a lot of people have different experiences, different encounters. But you know what? Any encounter or experience not well explained from scriptures can't be the experience of God's Spirit. Amen? If you have an experience that is not well explained from scriptures, all true scriptures that I mean is not an experience of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus. What did Peter do? And all his disciples, all of Jesus' disciples, they would teach from scriptures. Hallelujah. And we said in their world, what they had as Bible or as scriptures is what? Genesis down to Malachi. Was that what we said? Was that what we said? Hallelujah. Jesus will say, Luke will put it this way, Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Moses and all the prophets, Genesis down to Malachi. He expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44, he said, that the Lord spoke to you and I'll stay with you. That all the things must be fulfilled there written in the law of Moses. Law of Moses? I know there are people that say the law is God. No. The law of Moses is the word of God. Okay, you heard me. Amen? Beginning up, so, he says, for the people written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So they have a Bible, scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. And they call it what? The law and the prophets. Hope you're following. Amen? Now, aside Jesus and the apostles, or the writers of the epistles, even within the context, I'm tempted to come back. Even within the context of the Old Testament books, the prophets have to quote from previous prophets. The prophets have to quote from Moses, or they have to read from Moses. Amen? So it was not just Jesus and the writers of the epistles that read from Moses and the prophets. No. Even the prophets in the Old Testament books read from Moses. Hallelujah. Let's see Ezra in Nehemiah 8. Look at Nehemiah 8. Verses 8. So it is a pattern. Hallelujah. They will read from Moses. That is why Jesus will say, beginning at Moses. That is the word archaic. Beginning at Moses. That is Moses. That is the order from Moses. So if Isaiah will read from the prophet before him. From whom did you listen that? Hope they are following that. So they will read like that. So today we will read from the Epistles, the words of Jesus to the prophets. Right? Tomorrow, just this second. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Look at Nehemiah 8 quickly. Nehemiah 8. Are you there? I'll read verses 8. So they read in the book of the law of God. So what is the book of the law of God now? What is the book of the law of God? Moses. Remember? Law of Moses, right? So the book of the law of God is Moses. Hallelujah. It's Moses. That is, so the book of the law of God is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Is that it? Is that it?
Yes.
So they read from the book of the law of God. So they are reading Moses. Right? And what did he do? Distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So when he uses the word he gave the sense there, it means to explain or to give intelligence. He gave intelligence. He explained Moses' writing. We're going to get to that shortly. How to read. Hope you're following me. He gave intelligence. That is, he explained what Moses was writing. Hallelujah. If you read Psalm 72, look at Psalm 72 verse 19. Good. When you see that they read from Moses, Psalm 72 verse 19, it says, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Put your hands in Psalm 72. And look at Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14:21. Rush quickly to Numbers 14:21. Are you there? Look at verse 21. It says, as true as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Is that not what the psalmist is writing from? Is that not where it's writing from? Can you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the psalmist will read Moses. David is a king. And in Israel, a king is a teacher. A king, you know, today we say he's a king. But in that day, there were kings like that all over the world. Right? In the days of Moses, there were kings. But the kind of kingship that would be in Israel will be a teaching king. Hope you're following me. Will be a what? Teaching king. Please read Deuteronomy 17 very well. Deuteronomy 17. Moses began to tell them that they will say, Lord, give us a king. You know, Moses is speaking ahead of time what they will do in his family. Right? Said, you will ask for a king like other nations. Then he now warns them in verse 18. He now says, and it shall be when he is seated upon his throne, which is the king of his kingdom, he shall write them a copy of this law in the book, out of which is before the priest and the Levite. So when he says to write them this law, he was referring to he would teach them. Hallelujah. Amen. So a king is a teacher of Moses. Hope you are following. A king is a who? Is a teacher of Moses' word. So therefore, we can say Moses' laws are the word of God. Moses' laws are the words of God. So it shows us a pattern of how scripture should be read. Scripture should be read from the Genesis. Beginning. That's how Jesus read it. From the beginning. How scripture should read. So what Jesus and the writers of the epistles did was not just quoting, they were not just quoting Moses, no. They were not just quoting the prophet, no. They were teaching the prophet. They were reading and teaching. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul was saying, all scriptures, however not so far, okay, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for Philemon, is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine there is the word didaskalia. Didaskalia means explaining. So that means the scriptures is for explaining, not for quoting. Not for quoting. You don't use scriptures. Some people use scriptures to back up. I will back it up. Back it up. You don't use scriptures for back up. Scriptures have to be explained. Okay, everyone. Scriptures have to be what? Explained. Glory to God. Jesus wasn't merely quoting Moses. He was reading Moses and teaching. He looked at something. I showed us this the last time. I'm going to do it again. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, quickly. Look at verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. And put your hands again in Mark 12. We're going to read those two scriptures together. Now, Mark and Matthew are writing an account of what Jesus did. Now look at chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 34. See, when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. One of them, which is a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Look at what Matthew wrote that Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord of God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hands, all the law and the prophets. You know, it just looked as if Jesus just quoted. What's the simple? Hallelujah. What Matthew employed here is a shorthand. In Bible interpretation, it's called a shorthand. Hallelujah. It's a shorthand. And this is it's for reference. He referenced where Jesus read out to them. Jesus didn't just read one verse and said, this is his book. He read and he taught. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, following me. Let's see how Mark will put that same account. Mark 12. Mark 12. Are you there? Verse 28. The same thing. He said, and one of the scribes came, having heard him reasoning together, look at, and asking the same question. Look at 21. Jesus answered and said to him, look at how Mark put it. The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This, I mean, there is no other commandment greater than this. So what is the difference between what Matthew wrote and what Mark wrote? Mark added, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Did you see that? So, question is, is it not contradictory? No. It's just showing you that it's a reference. Okay, follow me. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy 4, quick. Deuteronomy 4. I mean Deuteronomy 6, sorry. Deuteronomy 6. Because when they asked Jesus the question, Jesus quickly went to Deuteronomy. Now, the writers of the synoptic will then pick out a verse or a few verses for reference. Because when scriptures were written, they were not written in chapters and verses. They were written as letters, as some chapters. Hallelujah. So that means, he cite those words, the cite is that you will go back and read the whole of the church. So when you hear, the Lord thy God is one Lord, he's telling you, go and read Deuteronomy. Hope you are following me. Because Jesus was reading Deuteronomy to them. Hope you are following me. So Jesus didn't just quote Deuteronomy 6:5. No. Look at Deuteronomy 6:5. It says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Did you see that? So it looked as if Jesus just read from Matthew, he read Deuteronomy 6:5, right? Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Did you see that? So Mark will start from verse 4. Matthew will only pick verse 5. Why? That they are only telling you, come back and do what? Read the whole of the truth. Okay, follow you. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So Jesus wasn't quoting, Jesus was teaching. In fact, if we do a deep down analysis of what Jesus was, it's not from different scriptures together. But let's move it like this. So that means Jesus started from verses 1, if we have to put it like that. Amen? And he read down the whole of the truth. Amen. So that means in my Bible study, when I see a part of scriptures being referenced, is not for quoting, so you could go back and reread it.
Okay, follow me.
You should go back and reread it, and read it well. Hallelujah.
So we say Jesus was
teaching. So when he says go and read everything, he's not telling you go and read chapter 1, verse 1. Read everything. Everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So very vital. So that means Jesus was reading Moses. Jesus wasn't contradicting Moses like people say. Jesus was reading Moses. He was explaining Moses. So therefore, Matthew 5 was not a contradiction. You know, some people say, it is written in the law. I don't want to get there this year. Amen. I promise you guys very soon, right? Not this year. So, when it is, when you get to Matthew 5, you know, some people have asked me that question. I even heard someone say, Recently, I'm not a Christian like you. That they will slap on one cheek, you turn to the other cheek. Say, before, if you slap me on one cheek, before I turn to the other cheek, I'll carry the double barrel. And I laugh. They say, Jesus, Moses said, and they slap me on one cheek, turn to the other cheek. But Jesus said, you should forgive. Jesus, so Moses is more fire. I mean, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Why Jesus is love. Look at your mouth. Amen. You know, some of us already have an idea on that teaching by Striker and Feminism going forward. I tell you something. There are some things that God watered down, that Moses have to water down for them. Because in their world, an eye for an eye is love. It is love. An eye for an eye is equal. It is love. You don't know. So that's what Jesus was explaining. This is law. They had an eye for it. Amen. Because they had something we were getting there. They were living, operating in a brutal war. A brutish war. Where I take your pencil. An eye for an eye means I take your Bible. I should replace back the Bible. I take your Bible, you kill. Strength is known by who you kill. Amen. Okay, follow me. So when Moses now says, I for an eye, love. So when Jesus was to explain it, Jesus will explain it as love. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. There was no contradiction. In John 5, okay. John 5, verse 46. Look at what Jesus said. He said, if you have believed Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how will you believe my words? How will you believe my words? So that means, Moses was, or Jesus wasn't contradicting Moses. No. Hallelujah. Wasn't the contradiction. Jesus was actually explaining Moses. Hallelujah. So let's see how Jesus would teach from Moses. Let's see how he would teach from Moses. It will be the same way every other writer would teach from Moses too. Hallelujah. The same way. How did Ezra teach from Moses? He gave a sense. Right? Now we want to give a sense. It's the same word that Jesus it's the same word that Luke will use to describe how Jesus taught from Moses. Hallelujah. In the Greek. Look at Luke 24 verse 27. It says, and beginning at Moses, did you see that? And all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures. All the scriptures means Genesis down to Malachi. Don't anybody have study here, but that shows you, Luke shows you how Jesus read Moses. Hallelujah. It says he expounded. Now that word expound, yesterday I told us it means to increase. That is it. It is the word in the Greek diamineo. Diamineo. It means to interpret. To explain a dialect. how you explain a dialect or a language. How you explain a dialect or a language. Diamenio, from two, from a compound one of Dia to quarter cross and Hemenes. These were a chief speaker. Hallelujah. An interpreter. One who interprets language. So, the question will now be, why will Jesus interpret language? Amen. Why will he interpret language? Why will he interpret language? It's a question we're going to answer. But in asking that question, you need to know this. The basic rule of Bible interpretation is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. You know, if Moses was around, we'd have told Moses, Moses, sir, sorry, sir. Sir, what were you trying to write about in John in Genesis 1, verses 1? What were you trying to write about in concerning Adam and Eve and the tree? What are you trying to write? You know, he would tell you, right? But interpretation, this thing, interpretation is to find out the writer is no more. Right? It's not in the scene, I cannot see. So interpretation will now be what was in the mind of the writer when he wrote. That will tell you why you have to interpret language. What was in the mind of the writer? Now, in finding out what was in the mind of the writer, I will have to do something. Or, put it this way, the writer in writing will employ the language of that day. So ask yourself, who are his audience? If I speak wrong grammar. Hallelujah. Who are his audience? Who are his audience? Who is his audience? And I did not attend that conference. Who is his audience? Who are his audience? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I combine the best one. Amen. Amen. But there are some grammars to take back that. There are some grammars to say, this one. That's enough. Amen. When somebody writes, they write an essay. They write an essay, now people will like a lie. Hallelujah. So this one is Kaduna. Amen. Amen. When they now write, and they now push it. Last. Amen. So this class. You know, you know different schools are here. But when you see too much money, I cannot be explained. Unilag. You need to come. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to hear pure grammar. Right translation. Come to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen, amen. When you hear someone like, give up an answer, I will shoot you. I don't know they are police. Who should ask me that? Oh, no, better. Forget them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, you have to know who are the authors. The writer. Who are his audience? Now his audience will make him employ a particular style of writing. Or will make him, or his audience. Remember, the original audience of Moses in Genesis is not you. Moses had an audience. Amen? Amen? Amen. So his audience will tell the kind of language he will employ. And the language he will use will also carry their culture and also put their sign. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, who was Moses' audience? The children of Israel. Right? Is this St. Pavilion Church? Basically, no. Amen.
Amen.
It was St. Pavilion Church. Is this Nigeria? And, oh, no. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir, I thought he was writing to me. You can. Is this forever? Amen. Glory to God. So, in the days of Jesus, they spoke Greek, but Moses spoke Hebrew. Did you see that? So that means Genesis down to Malachi were written or was written in Hebrew. Yet, even though it was written in Hebrew, Nehemiah had to do the same thing Jesus did. He had to give a sense. To give a sense there means he had to explain Moses' language. So that means, remember, language evolves. Right? Right? Glory to God. Okay, let me catch someone here. Sorry. We're all in Lagos, right? Who does not speak Pidgin? Who does not know Pidgin English yet? Everybody knows Pidgin English, right? So, Pastor, without the Pidgin English, no. Please, can you explain to me in any language, who is Magadia? Don't know Magadia? I'll write to you later. I say Magadia is coming to see me. Is what? Okay, but we are in this generation. Yeah, and I'm telling you that Magadia wants to see. We are together, of course, within the same generation, the same time. And yet I'm employing a language that you don't understand. Magadia, but if I say Magadia to a Barak boy, we say, ah. So we say, ah, Pastor Halakia. Magadia is coming, right? Because in the big, you have to write a book for those in the military or those who are born in the base. And I put Magadia, base commander, everybody knows. Everybody. Huh? Magadia. If you see Magadia, you swim. That is Magadia. Amen. That's why it's a beautiful people. You are born in the base. You married a soldier. For another 35 years, your life is... Amen. Amen. You're not born a child. Your child now became a soldier. Now a woman. You now come for Mugo. I'm in no way yapping people who are. You just keep seeing the same thing. Amen? Amen? You know what it's called MRS? Can you see? Okay. Now, sorry. So I'm using it for example. But because you are like, okay, you know MRS. Hallelujah. Now the reason for why I said it is, if I have to write a book to those in the base, and I now have that book to you, sir, you have to decode what I have encoded in that book. Because the book, you are not the original owner of the book. You are not the original recipient of that writing. So therefore, you would have to decode what I've written. So you are not the main audience. And because of my audience, being those inside the base, I would use words that they understand. No matter how you say you came from, you are an army child. You don't know which Pintos. You don't know Pintos. You will never know my master. It's not a swear. Amen? You are a Abi? You can know the other one, but you can never know. The same way too. There are some things in that place you say that I can never know. Okay, following you. So, if you see the dilemma, I now have to decode what you've written. And in decoding what you have written, I will have to sit in that seat of your audience. Okay, are you ready? I have to sit in the seat of your audience and hear what they heard. And hearing what they heard, I need to know what was their language. What was obtainable in their world. Did you see that? So, Ezra 2, we do the same thing to the children of God. He would have to give a sense, that is to say, you have to put them in the seat of Moses' audience and do what? Do a damnation of Moses' language. Amen? Amen? The reason why people keep asking the fruit that Adam and Eve ate, is it apple or abalimo, is because they are sitting in their own seat. They're not sitting in the seat of the first audience. If you sit in the seat of the first audience, you don't have an issue with that. The children of Israel don't have an issue with that. Hearing Moses talk about and the earth of the tree of life. They didn't
have an issue with it. They understood it. Amen. The reason why you are dragging with it is because you are not sitting yet. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So in the days of Jesus, they spoke Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and Hebrew. So they had Hebrew, Latin, English. Just like today in our world, they were English speaking. Oh no, my mother tongue is Yoruba. And yet, they still preach. Right? So in Jesus' day, they spoke Greek and Hebrew, major. They had Aramaic and Latin was just evolving. Because they were under the Roman Empire. So Latin was just coming into the scene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see the importance of language. In Luke 23, verses 38. Luke 23, 38. Now on Jesus' cross, look at what they wrote. And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. You see that? They interpreted the word Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. Three. Why would they have to do it like that? So that everyone will understand. So that means that was their audience at that point. What are you following? So, you see, Bible translation is very important. Glory to God. So that means, when they wrote it like that, or when they wrote it like that, only but it shows that the audience is vital. Very vital, or plays a vital role in writing the audience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Jesus' day, like we said, they spoke Greek, majorly. But the scripture was written in Hebrew. Okay, please. Scripture was in the Hebrew. But something else you need to see, that in Jesus' day, they have the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek Bible, I mean the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. That we have today in our world, the KJV, the NIV, the TLB, and the like. Hallelujah. So they had that in their world. They had the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. But yet, in as far as Jesus will also use the Septuagint, Jesus will also go back and reread the original Hebrew text. Why? Why would Jesus go back and read the original? Because at the point of translation, that is where a lot of us have issues. I wouldn't call it issues now. Because I understand I put out something on Facebook some days back. The translation, the translator's dilemma. Hallelujah. I thought it my experience. I never understood the import of Bible translation. The dilemma. I've always heard my pastor talk about it, not Pastor Shepard or anything. I've always heard him talk about the translator's dilemma. I never understood it until his birthday some few years back. And I was there during the birthday. And the question was asked, can we translate water baptism in your language? I'm like, that one is simple now. I move on. But I discovered that as I was trying to struggle to write it, I was like, what's wrong with myself? Now called someone from the Yoruba tribe to come and translate this guy now and started it that. I can't speak Yoruba now, but the meaning was water baptism of the Holy Ghost. People are like, no, what is, how can you say it's no water baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is there no word for baptism in Yoruba? There's no direct word for baptism. Only so, I'm not Yoruba guy, I cannot do that. That is, can only be water baptism. Now, so that guy's audience, let's say we are his audience, and I tell you in Yoruba, water baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? You know, you understand it as baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Because you are in my audience. But give that thing another 20, 30 years. Or even another one decade. And they pick out your material. Because what I was listening to you, where you called water baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, they will begin to think water baptism and baptism of the Holy Ghost are the same. Except they sit in your seat. To discover that during your time, there was no word like baptism of the Holy Ghost on its own. So that becomes the translator's dilemma. A translator can just speak it and just go, what about the Holy Ghost? And you miss it there. So in the Septuagint,
Jesus used this expression, I will still go back again, I will read the original. Why? So that he can put his disciples or his audience in the seat of the first audience. It's very vital. For example, like I said, what can lose their import when translation? During translation. Amen? They can lose their import. There was a young guy one time like that, I was told, that began to shout, he has gotten a revelation from God. A deep revelation. I heard this thing years back. Years back. When I didn't hear that, I didn't hear that. I'm 2009, 2010. Years back, when I said, I've got the revelation from God. They want a revelation. They now asked me, what is the revelation? And I said, I now know who Paul's father is. Say, who is Paul's father? He said, remember, Paul said, my old man is crucified with God. Say, who is your old man? My old man is my father. He said, so therefore, when Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ, that means Paul's father was that thief on the cross. Rema, right? That's nonsense. You are reading Bible day in your world. Amen? Even Paul too, shall you want? This one I read Rema. Amen? Amen? Can you say that? You don't read Bible in your world. You have to go back to their world. Amen? This region is why a lot of people don't like reading books of Shakespeare. Lovely writer, but they did that, I stayed away for you for a long time. Shakespeare. Before you read first three lines, you're going back to the first line, what? You're already missing it. Amen. You have to get that, get back to that. Hallelujah. You appreciate it more. Hallelujah. Hope they're following. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Okay. So Jesus had to go back. Because love was lose, like I said, what will lose their import when most times, not all the time, at the point of transition. For example, the use of the word redemption. Redemption. Today when we read redemption, when we read the word redemption, we read it as though Jesus paid a price to rescue someone. Or to rescue. I just remember years back, around 2007, me and my friend today, that was 2007. So we were having an argument. So today came to meet me and said, you know, Jesus paid the price. And I asked him, for who? Who did he pay the price? He said, So that's what I said. Who do you think paid the price? I said, It can't be to the end. And it can't be to God. Because if he says it's God, if he paid the price to God, that means God was holding on to his feet. Did you see that? But who did? So, did Jesus now stoop so low to pay the price to the devil? Did you see that? Question. Right? It's not God, it's not them. So I just, there's a guy. So which one? So we kept asking for this. One day, soon I know the answer. I said, what is that? I said, Jesus paid the price as a demand for justice. He ran away from it. But in my mind, I knew that was not God. I said, justice for who? Or to who? Did you see that? The demand for justice. Justice for standing. Who would you pay? On which account are you going to? We left that systematically. But that is because of how that word has been read. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. And the reason why people read it that way is because of how the word was translated. Because of how the word was translated from the Hebrew to the Greek. Of how the word was translated from the Hebrew to the Greek.
Amen.
Amen. Let's see how that word was translated. The word redemption in the Greek is from the word apolutrosis. A compound of apo and lutron. Lutron. Lutron implies how you lose something by paying a price. How you lose something by paying a price. To find out in Mark 10:45. No, it's money session. Amen. Mm-hmm. By paying the price. Lutron has a shade of the word lutro. lutro, L-U-T-R-O-O, and lutrosis. It means you redeem by paying a price. How you buy a slave from a marketplace. Hallelujah. Okay, follow it. How you buy a slave from a marketplace. It has another word, agorazo. The word redemption has another word, agorazo. Agorazo. Agorazo implies to go to a market and purchase by paying something. You see that? By paying something to get another thing. You find that in Matthew 14:15, Matthew 21:12, Matthew 25:9-10, Matthew 27:7, Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:3. I'll take that again. Matthew 14:15, Matthew 21:12, Matthew 25:9-10, Matthew 27:7, Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:3. How you go to the market to purchase something with money. Also, we have another word, ex-agorazo. Ex-agorazo. Just a shade of the word agorazo. You find that in Galatians 3:13, Galatians 4:5. So, when you read the word agorazo like this, look up now. When you read the word redemption rather like this, you will think Jesus had to pay something to someone. You will think Jesus had to pay something to someone to get us saved.
He paid the debt. It is not all I owe the debt. I couldn't pay. I needed someone.
What?
Who did he pay to? That becomes the question.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, many people now have that thinking of Jesus paid the price to someone because of the use of the word apolotros, agorazo, luton, and lutrosis. You see that? But it's just a translation from the Hebrew to the Greek. Now, we're going to see the reason for that impact. Hallelujah! But the question will now be, who did he pay to God or to the devil? Definitely not God. And definitely not to the devil. Therefore, to understand the word redemption and what it means, we would have to go and look at where the Greek was translated from. Right? Where the writers were reading redemption from. Where were they reading it from? They were reading it from Exodus. Did you see that? Remember we said they were reading from Moses. Right? So we have to rush back to Exodus chapter 6. And in the context will be how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Exodus 6:6. Hope you are following me here. Hallelujah. Exodus 6:6. Look at what he said. He said, wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out of the under the bodies, I will bring you out from under the bodies of the Egyptians, and I will lead you out of their bondages. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. So if I read redemption for what happened to the children of Israel in Egypt, right? So the question will now be, did God pay any price to Pharaoh? Eh? Did God give Pharaoh any price? So that means, in the context of redemption, okay, follow me. In the context of redemption, God didn't give any price, didn't pay any price to anybody. To the devil, no. To himself, no. Hallelujah. In fact, the word redeem in Exodus 16 is that word in the Greek, gal. The word redeem is the word gal in the Greek. Gal is used for a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman. The word gal is used for a kinsman. A standby. Like a nest of kings. like a Nestor king, one who rescues or stands in for. That is a kinsman. That is the word redeem. Hope you're following me. So when God says, I will redeem you, so that means God is saying, I will stand as a king's man. I will stand as the nest of kings. One who rescues. Amen. So in the use of the word God, there is no place for pain. Anything. Hope you're following me. So when God says, I will redeem them, He said that because of the covenant He had with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. And God is saying, I'm going to Egypt to bring out who? The children of Israel. Why? Because He valued that covenant. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. Because He does what? He valued that covenant. So He says, I'm going to redeem them. Hope you're following what I'm teaching you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to redeem them. So, the undertone of the word God is what? What is the undertone? Value. Value. Is it that? Value. God values the covenant He has with Abraham, and He goes into Egypt to redeem them. Amen. 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 Hope you're here with me. Yes. Go to God. Mm-hmm. So because of that value, He goes in to Egypt and stands as the nest of king for the children of Israel. And He didn't have to pay anything. No, He didn't have to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love how E.W. Kenyon puts it. He says, the covenant. E.W. Kenyon, one of his books, Blood Covenant. He says, the covenant makes two people who are never brothers become brothers. So the covenant unites two people to becoming brothers. Hope you're following me.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Two distant people in compromise by reason of covenant. So that means when God entered into the covenant with Abraham, automatically God becomes that brother. Right? And because it is a covenant, God values that covenant with Abraham and He goes in to rescue the children of Israel. Did you see that? That is what? Redemption. So at the point of translating that word to the Greek, remember what we call God? Kingsman Redeemer. Right? A kingsman, a nest of kings. At the point of translation to the Greek, there was no word for nest of king in the Greek. Did you see that? You know, there are some words you have in English that you don't have. I mean, there are some words you have in Yoruba that you can never have the English meaning. Amen? Yoruba? The same way too applies to some languages. There's some words that this language that you can't have the meaning. It's another language. So the same word, the word like that here is the word redemption. In the Hebrew, there was no word for nest of king. Where? In the Greek. So, what did the translators do? That is the translator's dilemma. Because we have to fit in the word. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, Jeremy. They have to fit in the world. So, they will have to look at their own audience, their own world, and see what word best fits this world for next of kin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, remember, the word God shows value. Right? What are value? So, in their world, what do you value? How do you show you value something? You show you value something by the price you pay for it. Did you see that? Hope you're hearing me. You show you value something by what? The price you pay. So the price tag on it shows your value for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what did God do? I mean, what did they do? In their world. Now have to look for that world that does what? That shows value. And that is the word apolutrosis. Lutrosis. Accuracy. You see that? All of them talk ashamed of how you pay money to get something. To get something. So you show, I value this thing, so I go for it. Hope you are following. That would have better explained. You know, when Jesus doesn't talk about redemption, he gave illustrations. Now, why would he give illustrations? So that the illustrations will further point to what the word means. In Matthew chapter 13, are you there? Verses 44. Now look at how what Jesus said. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like also a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man has found, he hideth and for joy thereof, goes and sells all that he has and buyeth that field. Now the word buyeth there is the word apolutrosis. Is that? Now and God, sorry, that part of that is the word apolutrosis there, supposed to be the word accuracy. Hallelujah. Goes and buyeth that field. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So, what is Jesus showing? He does, now, he uses the shade of what redeemed or redemption. Hope you are hearing me. But he uses that word redemption, he uses it like as a treasure. So what do you do to a treasure? You value it. So what did he use to show that he values it? He goes to sell all that he has. Did you see that? Hope you are following that. He sold all that he has to show you value. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's proceed. So the word redemption is value, not paying something to someone to get something. Hallelujah. So God loves and values man, and he offered himself to rescue man. The same way he gets into Egypt and rescued the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So he offered himself to rescue man. John put it this way, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That is value. Okay, follow me. That is value. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, that shows you that the word redemption, the word redemption has got nothing to do with God paying something to get something from someone. It actually God values man and he offers himself to rescue man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this was what Jesus had to do. He had to cross the language barrier. And in crossing the language barrier, he had to explain language. You can never take away language translation from Bible interpretation. What are you hearing me? You can. So, and in explaining language, you have to sit, like I told you, in the seat of the first body and hear what they heard. And hear what they heard. And in hearing what they heard, you have to read word first in their world. You have to read word first in their world. And doing so, you must understand how words were used in their world. Like in the days of Moses. Moses, in the time of Moses, if you read very well, in Psalms. Hallelujah. I'll look at this prayer. So, if you look at that very well, in their world, you have to know how words were used. Moses used a lot of illustrations. A lot of illustrations. A lot.
the psalmist will put it this way. He will use rhythms.
Hallelujah.
Rhythms. You have rhythms in whole law. A lot of illustrations.
Glory to God.
And then you have to interpret it in their world.
You know, we have a series that's ongoing that is not yet released. That is answering today's questions from the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm. This is not yet out.
Because we still have several sections to go.
But something you will have to see is that I told us in that series that you will have to interpret it first in their world. You don't interpret it in your world, interpret it in their world. Is when you know the interpretation in their world before you then apply it to your world. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You have to interpret what in their world. Glory to God. So you have to interpret the word and apply it to your world today. So when I go back to Acts 2:16, look at how we've done it after Acts 2:16. Acts 2:16, what it says? This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. That it shall come to pass in the last days. But get in there, shortly. Now, when he uses the word in the last days, you shouldn't read last days in your world. You see that? You will have to first of all interpret this last day in their world and then apply it to your world today. You shouldn't read it in your world. Because today, people really that rapture. I knew during the time of COVID-19, a lot of people were saying, rapture is about to happen, rapture. And all people shouting rapture. And I smiled. Some people, notable ministers, like myself, that I know and respect, called them later. Not to think it is rapture. They asked, that is rapture. Look at this, look at that. I said, no. What is rapture? I said, no. In fact, I now posted something one day. Now said, I wrote, the reason, closing down of churches is the best decision for now. I pulled down that post. But that post created controversy online. I pulled it down. A lot of people came at me. Some people slide into my DM. Some people came down to my WhatsApp. And said, sir, you are supporting persecution of the church. But I said, no. Because you are reading this one. Hallelujah. Is it the first time that there is pandemic? No. Or epidemic? No. Is it the first time we are having, is it NCR or NCD? Is it going to have NCD in the Bible? No. There's NCD. The high priest played the role of NCD. I showed up during explaining, answering today's questions from scripture. There was NCD in scripture. We don't show yourself to the priest. They will sacrifice you, okay. Jesus healed people and said, go and show yourself to NCDC. Amen? Amen? So, they came down. Because if they didn't go to show themselves to NCDC, they would never enter into. Glory to God. Amen. They say, a lot of people said a lot of things. It's rapture. It's rapture. Can people even say, it's really selling value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's about to happen. Imagine I said something like in 2007, I told somebody that we are in extra time. What was disturbing me was the fact that Chelsea did not carry something. I said, we are in extra time. 90 minutes is over. We are doing calculation. And I told my friend Daniel, I said, see, when the trumpet sounds, I have your number. I'm going to hear it because I'll be going first. I'm going to call you if you hear it. If you don't, if you didn't hear it, I will rush down to your place. I'll tell the Lord to wait. Let me go and pick my friend. You know well. You know, this is what you're doing. You know, some people say, he's coming back again. My God is coming back again. He went away. When, you know, no matter how you love this, there are some songs that I love
I love songs like that.
But I also have my reading for that song.
No, no. Come back again, me go come back again.
I have my reading.
But you know what? I can't sing it. I added, after I added reggae into that song, I now slide into that other melody if I sing that song. But you know what? I can't sing it. That's how I love it. Because that song actually negates the fact of my faith in Christ. My faith in Christ is Jesus never left the world. Okay, hearing me. So the moment I begin to say, come back, and come back from where? But where is he coming back from? He went to where? And you think, imagine you're saying, he's coming back again. He's living in me. Who is contradicting him? He's a God of love, eternal life. He's living in me. And he's coming back again.
Coming back
again.
From where?
How? Say, no, sir. The angel said, as you see him go, you see him go. Angel what? Angel? Angel that is supposed to learn scriptures from you? Hallelujah! Go get the message of ministry of angels. Have it there. Hallelujah! Angels are supposed to learn from you. Glory to God. So, Jesus. That was why the first time when Jesus was taken out of their sight, when he died, they went hiding. The second time when they didn't see him again, they went just home and just because they know he's living. Hallelujah. So when they saw him go into the sky, it was not the Luke's style of writing. I told you Luke was writing a third-party speech. Okay, you hear me? So he was not there. But he writes that for you to see. That he was, where will Jesus be found? In the heavens. Where is the heavens? Spirit. Jesus will be found in the spiritual, in the spirit, in the believer. So that means I will not be looking up to the sky. No. I will not be looking up. So when the sun is up, I will look up to the hills. The hills is not going to be looking up to Mount Everest or looking up. No. It means it is in the spirit. Because in their world, the hills are used for spiritual. Okay, you're with me. Okay, following me. I'm looking at this. So where will he be found? In the spirit. And the spirit is where I am. So he is in me. Okay, following me. So you know with rapture and it's coming back again. Second coming. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But scripture teaches us something else. Paul says in the teaching of Allah, we shall be changed. Hallelujah! The same thing that happened to the body of Jesus will happen to our body. Hallelujah! Now what if we are dead before he comes? Yes, he said the dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He said corruption shall put on incorruption. Mortality shall put on immortality.
Hallelujah! Our bodies will be like angels. Hallelujah!
Amen! So the same thing that has happened to our spirit will happen to our bodies. Come on, it's not a teaching for this year. Not next year. Not next week.
Let's learn more.
Hallelujah. So when Peter says last day, if you read it in your word, you will miss it. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. So we have to go back to where was Peter reading from? Where was Peter reading from? He was reading from Joel. So let's go back to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I guess I'm going to rush now. Joel 2. Joel 2:28. Look at how Joel put it. Like that, it shall come to pass afterward. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, Joel didn't use the word last days. Joel used the word afterwards. Afterwards. Now, when he used the word afterwards, is the word in the Hebrew, Akar. A-C-H-E-R in the Hebrew, Akar. It is used for a full time or a full circle. Afterwards, it is for a full time or a full circle. It's of another word, Akarit. A-C-H-A-R-I-Y-T-H. Akarit. And it's the word used for last day. It will be a word of Moses. It will be a Moses word. As we'll see shortly. It will be a Moses word. And we'll see shortly. In Genesis 49 verse 1, last day, Akarit, A-C-H-A-R-I-Y-T-H. Genesis 49 verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that we shall befall you in the last days. This is Genesis. Jacob is talking last days. This is Genesis. And we are taking his rapture. Glory to God. Amen. So, Jacob calls it last days, and it will be referring to a full circle, not rapture, fulfillment. You find it also in verses 19. Genesis 49:19. You find in Numbers 23 verse 10. Numbers 24:14. You see it there. And it's used for fulfillment for a latter time. So when Jonah says, afterwards, it shall come to pass afterwards. Let me take back those verses. Numbers 23:10, Numbers 24:14, Genesis 49:19. Now when Joel says, uses the word afterwards, in Joel 2 verse 20, he expects that you've read what he's saying from verse 1. He expects that you've read what he's saying from verse 1. You know what he said in verse 1? Okay. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm of my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it nigh at hand. So he calls the last day the day of the Lord. See that? So the last day, or which is the Akarit, the fulfillment, he calls it the day of the Lord. Something we're going to see as we get into the second section later on today. Hallelujah. He calls it the day of the Lord. Look at verses 12 into 13. It's a day for also. Just because of time. Therefore also, he's telling you what will happen in the day of the Lord. They said the Lord, don't be evil with me. I mean to me, with all your heart. In the day of the Lord, you will turn to him with all your heart. And with fasting and with weeping and mourning. And rend your heart and not your garment. And turn unto the Lord your God, for his gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repented he of his evil. Look at what it is. What will you do in the day of the Lord? You will rend your heart. That word rend there is the word in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, kwara. You will rend your heart. It's the word used for deliverance. In Ezekiel 13, verses 21, deliverance. Don't worry, we'll look at deliverance later on in the second session. What is deliverance? 13 verse 1. Then verse 21. You see, your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people, that's what to deliver, my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hands to be haunted, and ye shall know I am the Lord. So that's what to deliver. Is that redeem? Is that redeem? To redeem. So the word used for redemption. Is it for salvation? That is the word for salvation. So when he said you rend your heart, he was referring to salvation. Hallelujah. For to salvation. He was referring to repentance. So when he says, it shall come to pass afterward, would it be, it shall come to pass in salvation? Right? Is it, it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord? Is it in salvation? In the deliverance? Say, I will pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in salvation, in the last day, is it the same? When your spirit is in our heart. Is that what we saw yesterday? In salvation, the last day, the Lord's day, is that when the spirit is in our heart? We cannot take it upon. Right? Cannot take or be upon. Which is what? We say the word upon is utterance, prophecy, a demonstration. Right? Right? A demonstration. Glory to God. So, since the last day is what you've seen as the Lord's day. So let's see how Jesus will refer to the Lord's day. Because Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, God was God, and God is the Word. Right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So since Jesus is God, right? This Jesus is God, therefore, I need to look at it. The Lord's day will be his day. Right? Right? The Lord's day will be his day. So let's take an account of Jesus. In John 2, I guess I'll just give this illustration and then we'll take out the remaining later on in the second session. Hallelujah. So, in John 2, Jesus showed up in the wedding feast. Like the wedding between Dixon and Sally. So Jesus showed up. And they were serving wine. And doing after party. How they were doing after party and shooting guns. Wine now finished. Somebody now asked the stupid question. Is it alcoholic wine or juice? No, is it alcohol or juice? Don't ask me that kind of question. But it shows you how people argue over unnecessary things. No. Whether it's wine, whether it's alcohol or juice. Can you reverse your time back to Jesus' system and go and check if it is alcohol? Some people, I don't know. No, it's juice. You know that. Hallelujah. Okay, so look at John 2. John 2. You know that? Someone say, if you carry somebody, I will not come. If you carry a national fan to a supermarket, there is a lady to embarrass you. And then I want to buy biscuits. I want to buy donuts. I want to buy popcorn and some other snacks and some snacks. What do you have? Yeah. What are you carrying? Some of you didn't get the cheese. I said, take an afternoon fan and sit down. It's 6 hours. I said, what do you want? Your point biscuits. Your point donuts. To a point stop bomb. You don't know what it's called? Stop bomb is a Greek word. You know what stop bomb? You don't know? No? Just check it out. Amen. Okay. So if you don't know what stop bomb, you know it's going to do. Amen. So when I choose to see for donuts, egg roll, and snacks. What do you have? That is that snapper. Right, they are on the top of the table. But they forgot the scripture that says, the first shall be the last. And the last shall be the last. Don't allow the wrath of God come on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead. So in John 2, so Jesus showed us. But that is the way you are. Hallelujah. in John 2, Jesus showed up in a wedding. When he showed up,
so you don't protest that now after this section.
Hallelujah. So, in Acts 2, John 2, when he showed up in the wedding, Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to meet him and said, "We have no wine." Is that Acts 2? Look at verses 2. He said, "They have no wine." Verse 3, "They have no wine." Jesus will not read wine like they would read wine. Jesus will read wine from the scriptures. So what is wine in Jesus' context? Wine in scriptures is used for the spirit, Matthew 26. Wine is the spirit. So when Jesus' mother, Mary, said they had no wine, Jesus read it as man is without the spirit. We're going to see all this in the second section. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They have no wine. Then Jesus now said to the mother, "Woman, what I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." Now, his hour is a shade of the word his day, the Lord's day. Do you see that? Because I say my hour, my time, my day has not yet come. So his day is not the day for miracles. No, no reference to miracles. Mary has read it as they have no wine. Mary said they have no wine. Jesus read it as man is without the spirit of God. Is that true? That is true. Genesis 1:2. One of the others said, hallelujah. Man without the spirit of God. And then Jesus now said, my hour has not yet come. So his hour there will not be hour for miracles. His hour when man will receive the spirit. Hallelujah. So in God's hour or in Jesus' hour, what would you have? Man will have the spirit. They have no wine. So when he tells them, you know, he went ahead to do the miracle. So if his hour for miracle, no matter what anybody do, you cannot make him do miracle. He's God. Say again. So we're not referring to his hour for miracle. Referring to his hour for what? Okay, let me put that. He's referring to his hour for the miracle. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
It's hour for the miracle. It's hour for salvation. Right? Hallelujah. So he goes ahead to perform the miracle of water turned to wine. Water being turned to wine, water will be used for man, will be used for nations. Turned to wine will be man, the nations will receive the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So after those in John 7, verse 31, the last day of the feast, just to that, who said, but there's certain come and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. I said, this is spoke of concerning the spirit. Isn't that? Concerning the spirit. Which them that believe on him should receive. Hallelujah. For the spirit is not yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. So, when I get to John 14:20, let me end the round up. In our that is, in that day, you will know, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In that day. What will be that day? The Lord's day. Right? In that is hour, that will be his hour. He said, you will know, I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Is that the indwelling? So in the Lord's day, that is salvation. In the Lord's day. Hallelujah. So that means as believers, we are in the Lord's day. How are you hearing me? You live in his day. Hallelujah. You don't come out of his day. You are consistently in his day. The day is the indwelling. Hallelujah. So my days are in his day. My hours are in his hour. Hope you are hearing me. Hallelujah. So that is our reality as believers. We are in his day. Only. You don't step in to step out. No. You are in and in forever. Hallelujah. When it says in my, if you read from verses 1, it says in my Father's house are many mansions. See, but not so I won't have told I go prepare a place for you. That, and then I'll come and receive you again to myself. Some people say that coming is rapture. No. Say, I'll come again and receive it. So that I'll come again is the end to end. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many monies, many mansions. I go prepare. That word prepare in the Greek is the word hektomizo. Used for an internal work. Hallelujah. So don't walk, but day is his grace. You rend your hearts. Salvation. Deliverance. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in God's day. You know, Ezekiel put it this way. You see, I'll sprinkle you with clean water. And you get up sick, and you shall be clean from all your feet, from all your idols, your life. Cleanse you. He says, I will put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. Say, a new heart, Father, will I give to you. A new spirit will I put within you. That is the thing. The life of the believer is the life of the day. Hallelujah. The life of the believer, we are in his name. So we're going to be exploring that. Hallelujah. Our life in his name. What our life should be. What has made us. Hallelujah. We are in his name. I'm in his day, glory to God. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. I'm in God's day. God's day is not a particular day of the week. I'm in his day every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me show you something. Something we're going to see in the evening session. Hallelujah. In his day, we have visions on storms. We have revelations on storms. Hallelujah. There's no lostiness in his day. Hallelujah. In his day we'll have his gift. Never show us anything about his gift. That way when Paul began to talk about the gift of the Spirit, he says he reads from Moses. How you bring gift into the world. He uses a temple narrative. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you say you are in his day, it means you are in his temple. So we'll have his gift. We have the gift as factor within us. They don't go rusty. Oh, in the coming days, you do evangelism by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you go out for evangelism, and you know what? You have rays of revelation. You have rays of vision. You will see men before you get to them. Men will see you before you get to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's happening. We are in 2023. Hallelujah. We have an abundance of rain. Abundance of revelation. Abundance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm in his day. Tell someone I'm in his day. I'm in his day. I'm in his day. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm in his day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know his day is rejoicing forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm in his day. Glory. Hallelujah. See. Your focus is faith. Let me show you something. Today, your focus is going to be on revelation. Because what God is doing, he takes us to land. The beast of village is in your mind in a couple of weeks. And around your age, you've been feeling that burning about. I don't know what to do. Hallelujah. But you know what to do. So start planning those outreaches. Hope you're hearing me. So start planning it. To work with your pastor. So start planning it. Hallelujah. You see, you will not be scared of whether it's a harassed area or not. Hallelujah. We're launching out. Hallelujah. So start planning it. blowing at all. And you will see rain.
Veins of the heaven.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Yeah. 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 You will no longer have this. I know you have a longing for Revelation day. You just wonder, how did he see?
What is this thing about Revelation? Right? You were thinking of it lately. What is this seeing and knowing? Right?